We'll talk Amazon, student loans, and the four-day week. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. What is next for New York City and for Amazon after the retail and cloud services giant pulled out of the deal to build a big branch office in the borough of Queens in return for nearly $3 billion of incentives? Tens of thousands of higher-paying jobs were on offer, but critics said the deal was negotiated without enough input from local and state stakeholders. Here's Marketplace's Mariel Segarra.
Amazon was supposed to bring up to 40,000 jobs to New York, and it's not clear what's going to happen to those jobs now. The company says it's not planning to reopen its search for a second headquarters, so maybe the jobs will end up at the other new headquarters in Virginia or get spread out around the country. Also, remember, Amazon held a very public 14-month competition for the location of its new headquarters, and it had 20 finalists. So maybe in a year from now, when the controversy dies down, Amazon opens an office in one of those cities. The other thing to think about here is, does this change the way Amazon or government officials make these kinds of deals? In this case, both were criticized because the deal was crafted in private without any public input. That is actually common, but because Amazon created this public spectacle, it got more scrutiny. So maybe the lesson the company and the government learn here is to seek public input. Or maybe they just learn to keep things quiet.
Amazon has been one of this program's underwriters. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin tweeted today that his trade meetings in Beijing were, quote, productive. It's a tweet which did not elaborate. In 2 weeks, the U.S. will make its China tariffs even more severe unless the Trump administration opts for a delay. A new report from the Inspector General at the Education Department says that department is doing a lousy job monitoring student loan servicing companies, mostly private firms that are supposed to make sure students pay back the loans. Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer joins me live from Washington. Nancy, what's happening here?
Well, the Education Department pays loan servicing companies to handle the federal student loan repayment process. They are supposed to keep track of how much students owe. They provide students with repayment options. But the Inspector General says these servicers have been making mistakes, David. Mistakes in calculating payments for borrowers who were on income-based repayment plans, and also when they were telling borrowers what their payment options were.
Mistakes. So what did the Education Department do about the mistakes?
Well, the Inspector General says the department didn't do enough about this. And after it found problems, it just told the servicers to correct the issues with individual accounts instead of looking for more widespread problems. The report says the department relied on employees' memories instead of a more formal oversight process. The Education Department can cut payments to these servicers for mistakes, but the report says they rarely did that. The Education Department has responded, David, and it says these mistakes were not, quote, material.
Material mistakes. All right, Nancy, let's do the numbers. The FTSE index in London is up 0.5%. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are each up less than 0.2%. Interest rates, the 10-year Treasury yield is still droopy, down at 2.66%. Would you take the following bargain if offered? Work longer over 4 days in exchange for 3 days off instead of a two-day weekend? Back in 1930, the British economist John Maynard Keynes predicted we'd eventually get to a 15-hour work week. Huh. Marketplace's Tracy Samuelson today looks at two companies that tried this with varying results.
A big chunk of working in public relations used to be spent tracking how and where clients were mentioned in the press. Technology now largely automates that task. And instead of just piling on more work, Rich Lee, who runs Radioactive PR in the UK, started thinking maybe they could just take Friday off.
I just realized I was only doing 5 days a week, Monday to Friday, nine to 5:30, because everybody else was. And all of a sudden, that just didn't seem like the best reason to be doing it.
Before trying out the idea, he talked to each one of the firm's clients.
The first client that I said, hey, I'm thinking of doing this, they just looked at me and there was a bit of a break. And he just said, I don't care.
Rich says by the end of the 6-week trial, clients were happy. The staff was happy. He was happy.
You know, I looked at the financial impact of this 6 months in, and net margin was up even, you know, I mean, by a small, you know, point something percent, but, you know, net margin was up.
And so he made the change permanent. 4 days, regular 9 to 5:30 hours. Employees are still expected to respond if there's a big client problem on their 3-day weekend, same as their 2-day. He wants the team to think of it as a perk, not a right.
We are 8 months, 9 months into doing this, and I still feel like it's ours to lose.
But working 4 days when everyone else is still working 5 days was tricky for Slaydox, a digital product agency based in Prague. They did an 8-week trial a few summers ago. Carl Carafiat said, yes, the team seemed visibly happier.
On the flip side of it, we also realized that what we produced was more pressure on our bottlenecks.
There were things that just couldn't wait until Monday. And while the company definitely got more efficient in their remaining 4 days, it wasn't enough to make up for an entire missed Friday.
Which then means for us that our clients are missing out. And that is something we will not compromise on.
At the end of the trial, Carl surveyed the 20 or so people who worked for him. Most voted to go to a seasonal 4-day work week, perhaps each summer, but not all the time. Two people said they should just stick with the 5-day work week. Slaydox is now thinking about reserving Friday for internal projects and training instead of client work, or working 4 days, but staggering them so everyone's not off at the same time. I'm Tracy Samuelson for Marketplace.
The Securities and Exchange Commission wants to study how the New York Stock Exchange incentivizes its stakeholders through fees and rebates. It is a complex system, but now the Stock Exchange has gone to court to stop the SEC's study, calling the probe arbitrary and capricious. Our executive producer is Nicole Childers. Our digital producer is Miguel Contreras. Our engineer is Brian Allison. I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.